Welcome to the show. Joining me right now, Roy Furman, CEO and founder of Seek Business Capital. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So tell me about Seek Business Capital. What is it and how did you start it?
Yeah. So we predominantly help small businesses and we specialize in startups and early stage business owners. So, and we help them get their funding. So when we say startup, we don't think Silicon Valley startup. We think it could be a food truck. It could be a mechanic, a guy who wants, or a girl who wants to start a gym. Really just a small business. Our average funding is around $40,000 to $50,000. And that's really what we do. So how we started it, going back about 5 years ago, I was running a online advertising agency and we acquired quite a few clients in the small business funding vertical. And these guys were, all these companies are great lenders, but they were looking at clients that had 2 years in business, 1 year in business, maybe 6 months in business. They were looking at their cash flow. And as we were generating leads for them online, we kept getting all these brand new businesses, or even guys who hadn't even started their business yet, looking for loans. And as these guys, as our leads got delivered to our partners, they kept complaining about these leads. But there was a lot of them. So I kept trying to find additional opportunities. What companies were going to buy these leads? How could I help? Turns out there wasn't really much out there for them. And me and my team, we kind of saw that as an opportunity. So we kind of started working with a bunch of different banks and starting to put together some programs. And all of a sudden, before you know it, Seek Capital was born.
Wow, very cool.
Kind of an accidental business, if
yeah,
you
would. Yeah, a lot of the best ones are accidental. So you're an entrepreneur. You work with a lot of entrepreneurs.
Absolutely.
What would you say your definition of an entrepreneur is?
Oh, well, for me, it's I always knew that was the direction that I wanted to be. I always just wanted to solve problems. And I think that's inherently what an entrepreneur is they want to do something. They think they know how to do it better. I think that one of the great sayings that I've ever heard about it is an entrepreneur is the only person crazy enough to work 80 hours a week to avoid working 40 hours a week. And that's really it. They just have a vision and they want to do something their own way and they just feel like they can do it better. And that really was my vision as well.
What would you say is the difference between working for somebody else and working for yourself? And what were some of the maybe hiccups and lessons learned going from one to the other?
So when you work for someone else, you don't have as much responsibility. So you can clock out at 9 to 5, so to speak, and you don't have stress, you don't have burden. When you run your own business as an entrepreneur, there's a huge burden on your shoulders and it never stops. You check your emails nonstop, you're checking the text messages, you wake up in the morning, the first thing you do is you grab your phone and see has the world collapsed around you, and you go to bed at night hoping that the world won't collapse while you're asleep. I think that's probably the biggest difference is that burden and responsibility.
Yeah, to that point, I think that there's this constant fear of failure to varying degrees, of course, depending on who you are, the scope of your business. How have you come to terms with that fear of failure?
I don't know if I ever had such a fear of failure. I think it was fear of not meeting potential or the opportunities or not capitalizing on those. I always try and make sure I keep my mind right. I think that's an important part for anyone who's taking on a high-pressure situation. I make sure I go to the gym. I work out regularly. I make sure I keep very tight action lists or to-do lists, what most people call. And I feel if I've got 10 things on my list, if all I have to do is accomplish those 10 things, it makes life a lot easier. Because I think one of the biggest challenges where people get stressed is they don't know how much is enough. And if you can set a parameter of, hey, I got to do these 10 things, and if those 10 things equals success, then just do those 10 things.
So how do you come up with that? Because that is a really big one. I think as entrepreneurs, going back to the difference between working for someone else versus yourself, is the to-do list is endless. You could literally never stop working if you didn't want to. So where do you draw that line for yourself?
Except that you can't make everybody happy. That's the simplest thing. You just cannot get everything done. There's just simply not enough hours in a day. You got to define what are the most important things and what are the most urgent things and just hit the big ones, right? So take a pen and paper, write out everything, and you can have a list of 30 things, but choose which are the ones that are going to have big pain. So if I don't pay the internet bill, for example, we have no internet. That's going to cause pretty big pain in the office. That one has to be at the top of the list.
Right.
Certain phone calls. And then where it gets really tricky is when you deal with people is what I would call proactive behaviors. So our staff is now 50 people, and making sure that I spend each time with each of the major people in our organization before they need it. So I'm addressing their issues before they ever come up. And it's really going, hey, what are the urgent things and what are the important things and what's going to save me time and energy in the future if I can knock it out today?
Yeah. So you, like you said, you really have to be proactive, not just reactive to what is avoiding a pain today, but down the road.
Absolutely. Big thing for me, the email inbox. I look at every email that comes in and I always ask myself, how can I avoid ever receiving this email ever again? No, truly, I mean, if I'm going to get the same email, it's going to waste my time over and over again. Well, I've done something wrong, right?
Yeah.
Who can I train, for example? What software can we buy, right? There's got to be something that we can do to avoid having this issue ever again.
Mm-hmm. If you could give your early entrepreneurial self advice, what would it be?
Really easy. Watch the numbers and the metrics. Be obsessed about the numbers on a monthly, weekly, daily, hourly basis. Too many times we have a great vision. We're all excited. We're working really hard. And before you know it, something went sideways. All of a sudden, our average order started going decreasing, or our closing percentage, or whatever key metric that you're looking at. Look at those metrics, know exactly what you're looking at, and look at it multiple times a day. And if there's an issue, catch it quickly and put a corrective course of action in place.
If you could create a startup toolkit, what would be inside of it?
Learnings. So for me, it's all about learnings. I think today we're very blessed. Both my folks are entrepreneurs. They ran their own business, and my dad still does. Today, I think we're very blessed that we have so much information available, whether it be a podcast, movies, or documentaries, books, audiobooks. I wasn't much of a reader at school or high school or university, but since then, I love the books and the business books, autobiographies, management books, you know, self-development books. I think that's one of the most important critical tools.
Okay, name a couple of your favorites, podcast, book, whatever you want.
Tim Ferriss podcast, big fan. Interviews a lot of successful people. I think the traits of success from one industry, or whether it be business, academics, music, film. Arnold Schwarzenegger has a phenomenal interview on there. And then The Hard Thing About Hard Things by Ben Horowitz. The audiobook is fantastic. It's about, I think it's like 12 hours, so it's pretty hefty. But that's one of my personal favorites for any entrepreneur. And gets away from the nitty-gritty of running a business to what does it really feel like to be a business owner, and talks about the sweats that you'll have at 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one's very powerful and impactful.
I love listening to podcasts as well. Yeah. And it's amazing, I think, once you listen or read books from successful people, you start to pick up on themes that they
Absolutely.
All kind of agree on. Is there a theme that's sticking out in your mind that you go, wow, all these people I look up to are doing this. I really have to implement this into my business.
Yeah, I think there's two. And for me, they were always inherently natural in me. And I think I was a little bit hesitant to let them come out because I was a bit uncomfortable because it wasn't the norm. And that was number one is just never quit. Really simple, just never, ever, ever quit. Failure is just simply not an option. And I think that's one of the single most important thing. Failure is just not an option. And number two is be a rhino. It's a theme that we use around our organization is don't let things get in your way. Just keep moving forward. Whatever stumbling block, whatever obstacle, whatever issue you have, don't say, woe me, poor me. The world will always change and you'll get thrown curveballs. Just don't let them derail you. Just be a rhino and go through them.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting what you said about the failure, because in principle, obviously that's great, but there's always many failures, or maybe you frame them more as mistakes or obstacles, as you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. So tell me how you distinguish the two, how it's okay to make mistakes, but at the end of the day, you're not going to fail.
I think we all make mistakes, you know, countless mistakes all day, every day. We make literally thousands of micro decisions all day, every day. And it's when we make a mistake, do we sit there and just, you know, focus on that, or do we make a correction and continue to move forward? I think that's really the critical thing. Everyone's going to make mistakes. Let's take that information, make a correction, and keep moving forward. It's, you know, if we are walking in a straight line and there's a building in front of us, we don't just keep walking. We turn right, walk around the building, then turn left and keep going. And that's really what it's all about, just those auto corrections.
What does a typical week look like for you? How many hours do you typically work? Do you structure your week a certain way?
Yeah, so hours, we work pretty hard. I work probably about 70 to 80 hours a week. Most Saturdays I'm working right now. It goes through different phases of the business. Some periods I'm working obviously more than others, depending on what we've got going on. Right now we're in a growth phase, pretty rapid growth phase. Mondays are always management and team meetings. So everything from we have a 2 to 3 hour management meeting to start the morning at 8 a.m., start the week right, make sure everyone's on the same page, We have sales meetings, fulfillment team, customer service team meetings. And we do that twice a week, Mondays and Thursdays. So one's to kick off the week and one's to review the week. And really just focusing a lot of my energy is meeting with department heads and troubleshooting and looking, hey, what issues could we encounter and what can we do to foresee those and avoid those issues?
Great. Well, we're going to talk about building your business in just a little bit. We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
Experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-993-8236. That's 800-993-8236.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
That's 800-993-8236.
We're the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome back to Business Rockstars, where I'm continuing my conversation with the CEO and founder of Seek Business Capital. So if you could speak a little bit more to that problem that your business provides a solution for.
Yeah, I think for us, the biggest challenge that we see with our clientele is, hey, we only work with people with good credit, right? So they've got to be a small business owner, whether it be a brand new business or an early stage business owner, and they've got good credit, so a personal credit, so typically 680 plus. So when banks and lenders are looking whether to give money or not, they're going to look at really two main areas. One, what is the cash flow of the business? And if they don't have cash flow, then the personal credit becomes the biggest factors. You know, the way we describe it to our clients is banks are pretty smart people. They've been doing it for a while. They know what they're doing. And so they look at a business owner and the business itself, even though they may be two separate legal entities, they're still going to behave one and the same. Meaning if the business has a good month, the owner takes money home. If the business owner doesn't have a good month, or if the business, sorry, doesn't have a good month, the owner's not going to take much money home, if any. Sometimes owners put more money, more of their own personal money into the business. So that personal credit profile is really critical. And so we saw these guys and girls, they've got this good credit, they can get whatever they want, whether it be a mortgage, a credit card, auto loans. So they're really at the top in the personal world, but in their business world, they've got no options. And so that's really where we help them leverage their personal credit and be able to get the right kind of funding and with banks that are looking not at cash flow, but rather they're looking at the personal credit.
Okay. So a lot of people don't understand the difference between a loan and investment money. Can you speak to that?
Yeah. So an investment money. So Seek Capital, for example, we took investor dollars. Okay. And that helped us grow the business. We obviously have a lot of expenses and we're running the business. And so for us, it was critical. And to do that, we gave up a percentage of our business. And so our investors now own a piece of the business. And as we grow, their stake in the business and will become more and more valuable, hopefully. And if a loan or a line of credit, for example, it's called debt financing, meaning there's no ownership exchange. It's, hey, I borrowed $10,000, $50,000, $100,000, and I will repay that on the agreeable terms. So if it's a loan, for example, paying $2,000 a month, and that's the term and that's the return.
So as an entrepreneur, how do you know, given your business model, which you're more eligible for? What's a better fit?
I think that debt financing is typically going to be easier because the banks are very structured in what they will and what they will not approve. Investors, I think there's a ton of investor opportunities. I mean, we've got different websites out there today that enable you to, you know, Kickstarters and things like that. There are angel investors, there are larger institutional investors, and there's also friends and family. What most people don't realize is that the number one source, and this is according to the SBA, the number one source to fund a small business in America is actually through credit cards. So if you ask any small business owner, they basically all have credit cards, and that could be an American Express or a Visa or a MasterCard, whatever it is. And so that's really what we focus on, is because it's the quickest and easiest way. Hey, you've got good credit, you make money, the bank will give you credit cards. And so that's really the easiest way to get any business going. So for me, Seed Capital is probably my fifth business that I've headed up. My first one, I took angel investment from my mother. I was washing cars when I was 11, and she bought the sponge and the bucket for me, and I went door-to-door knocking. But other than that, every other business until Seed Capital was always started with credit cards, because they're quick, they're easy, and a credit card's effectively like a line of credit. So you don't have, if you put $10,000 on a credit card 1 month, you don't have to repay it all in one go. You can just make the monthly minimum payment, which is typically 1-2%. So $10,000, you only have to pay, say, $200 per month. So when cash is a bit tight, you can actually really leverage that and grow the business quicker.
Tell me about any relevant business partners that you have that have helped you grow the business.
So today we're very fortunate that the founder of Lower My Bills, Matt Coffin, so he sold that business to Experium for about $400 million back in 2005. He went off and started Coffin Capital and Ventures and does a lot of angel investing. And so they're actually our original investor. We've got a few other investors, a lot of local VC guys. We did two rounds, our initial round, and then we did a secondary round, at which point we were a lot more attractive. We had 2 years of revenue under our belt, and you know, those guys all wanted to jump on. And today, we've been very fortunate to have great investors. They don't just bring a blank checkbook. They're people who I can pick up the phone, whether it be get an introduction to it for a relationship that I want to pursue, or just some advice on a tricky subject, or even recruiting. They've been able to put us in touch with other people who in their network.
So expand upon your work culture a little bit, and how do you really execute it in the workplace?
So our work culture is a little bit unique, we think. It's very, very fast-paced. We're trying to achieve a lot in a very short amount of time. And so we take into account that, hey, it's a very young organization. I'd say the average age is probably 24 to 26. And so knowing that, we also want to cater to those folks as well. That means there's going to be a lot of team night outs. I am Australian, so there's going to be a lot of beer. It just is. But we have a lot of caffeine, so the fridge is always stocked with Red Bulls, five-hour energy drinks. The coffee machines are always flowing. And there's just a culture of high energy and high results. So we're very, very analytical driven. So every position knows exactly what their benchmarks are for success, what their quotas are, what their expectations are. And every manager is going to check in with them, each person 2 to 3 times a day, to keep them on track and help them if they need it. So we kind of have a really basic philosophy as management. As managers, our job is to service and to be of service to our employees, not the other way around. Mm-hmm. So first step is it's our job to inspire and motivate them. Secondly is train and provide clear expectations. And thirdly is to hold them accountable to that. And so if we do that, we feel like, hey, we're doing our job and we're putting people in the right position to be successful.
Do you want to be seen as disruptive or innovative? And if so, what does that look like for you?
I would say innovative, I think, is really how we define ourselves. We always just want to be better and solve problems and become more and more efficient. That is really the benchmark of what we, as a management team particularly, is how can we be more efficient? How can we, if we have, for example, 100 leads today versus the same 100 leads a year ago, are we working those 100 leads? Are we being more successful? Are we servicing those 100 leads better? Is our response time better? Is our customer service ratings from our customers better? And that really is the hallmark. If we can just continue to improve every day.
What's been the biggest challenge so far?
Hiring quickly enough the right people. Okay, there's obviously every time you put up a job ad, and we always have them. Right now, I think we're probably hiring for 7 or 8 different positions. Actually, 11. We're trying to fill 11 openings in the next 30 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so that's probably the biggest challenge, is not hiring just anybody. Because obviously we put a lot of time, money, energy into training staff. We've got basically a 7-day training period before someone ever becomes active in their job. And so it's really being able to find the right people.
So do you believe in hire slow, fire fast?
I wouldn't say so, no.
Because right now you have to hire fast.
Yeah. So it's hiring the right person for us is... a lot of it is the gut. And yeah, we're going to ask all the typical questions and a few oddball questions, try and catch people up, trip them up in an interview. But by the end of the day, you typically know within 3 minutes if they're going to be the right fit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, lastly, what has been the biggest success?
Biggest success, I would say, overcoming some plateaus. So we had some plateaus, we hit some funding numbers in a particular month, and we kind of plateaued in that range for about 3 to 6 months. And we took a step backwards. We took our two top sales reps and we made them into managers. And so we took a step backwards in sales, and it took them a hot minute to get trained. But once they became successful as managers, we've now tripled our volume because of those two individuals.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing all your business insights with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
Radio Health Minute, I'm Joel Streed. French fries, pizza, potato chips, and sweets with their added salt, fat, and sugar are tasty.
We like taste and convenience, and those foods generally fit that bill.
Unfortunately, they don't really fit into a healthy diet. Dietitian Catherine Zaratsky says these highly processed foods are often stripped of their nutritional value. But making the switch from junk food to healthier whole foods can be challenging. To start, Zaratsky suggests removing the temptation.
Instead of having those foods on your kitchen counter, maybe putting a bowl of fruit.
You can try gradually cutting back and pairing with a new food.
If you're wanting something sweet, and it's usually ice cream, it might be pairing that ice cream with some cut up bananas or some berries and make yourself a sundae. And so you're gradually eating more fruit and less ice cream.
And hopefully working yourself up to replacing that ice cream altogether. For more information, talk with your healthcare provider or visit mayoclinic.org.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Black, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. We've got Regan Hillier joining us. She's the founder of Regan Hillier International. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us about your company. What do you do?
Absolutely. So we're all about disrupting people's vision of normal. Okay. So two core things that we help people with. One is a really success mindset and helping people shift their external reality from going within. And then the other side of things is helping people with a really big message that they know that they're just born to share with the world. You know, artists, leaders, creators, entrepreneurs, visionaries, helping them unlock that and then monetize that and create a whole lot of impact through that. You know, these are people that want to make millions and impact millions of people in the process.
Fantastic. Is there a specific age range? I know that a lot of millennials are kind of fitting into that category because I'm in a similar space.
Right.
But is there a specific type of person that you work with?
There is a big range. There's a lot of women that do show up and they tend to be kind of like 25, 28, right through to kind of 40-ish. But we get people either side, but that's kind of the core of it.
Okay, yeah. Fantastic. What did you do before this though? I would like to know somebody's like kind of journey.
Right.
What led into this? Was it a mentor? Was it like Tony Robbins, who was it?
Yeah, look, it has been a really organic process. You know, I definitely wasn't someone who was like, oh, you know, I'm going to be a coach and then like did a life coaching course and here we are. It really wasn't that. It was my own organic journey of being really kind of unsatisfied with what I was doing in my life. And so I grew up in Auckland, New Zealand, and had a, you know, amazing education, but was very much told that I had to go to school and work really hard and get good grades and follow that system, right? So I did that and I was at university studying architecture of all things, right?
Now you help people architect their life.
Right, exactly. I've never used that degree in my life ever, but I was sitting there actually in a university lecture and the lecturer walked in and he's like, you know, welcome future architects. I want you to picture your future 20 years out from now. And I did that and I felt sick in my stomach. And I was just like, man, like just because I can do this and just because I'm kind of good at this, this isn't me though. And so that's what threw me into personal development and really, you know, soul searching at a really young age and going, why am I here? And what's my purpose in life? And how do I do something that I love and actually make an impact? It really started there.
Fantastic. And who was the first person that you worked with? You don't have to say their name necessarily, but I think that for people on their journey, as you know, because you work with them, the hardest part is usually getting the first person, getting the first person to pay you to essentially get you started.
Right, you mean my very first client?
Your very first client.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so funny. I remember it down to a T. I charged, I think, $300 for like 3 months of coaching. it was like below minimum wage. Yeah. Like, it was crazy. But I remember. And what's interesting is that this lady is still in my community now. Wow. And actually is still enrolled in my products and services. But, you know, people often ask, you know, what's your proudest moment? And that was one of them. It was receiving that $300.
It is,
Because all of a sudden I was like, oh my gosh, this actually works. Like, like someone actually believes that I can add value. Like, this is so cool. And that's what really helped it roll.
It reminds me of like people with a restaurant. You see, they have like their first dollar made, like laminated on the wall. So what do you feel like are some of the things that ultimately hold people back? You figured it out for yourself and you help others now, but for people joining us and your audiences as well.
Right.
What do you think are some of the basic things that hold people back from cutting the cord from their job and ultimately going after their dreams, having the income and the impact that they can in the world?
Totally. Look, I think the biggest thing is mindset. It really is. You know, there's so many people that they're looking for the perfect strategy. And this was me,
The perfect time to start, right?
Right, exactly, right. And so this was me. You know, I dug into personal development and I was literally just doing anything I could get my hands on. So I was attending wealth creation seminars and I was like, okay, I'm going to learn how to invest in property. I'm going to learn how to trade currency. I'm going to learn how to start a business, sales, online business, everything, right? And I was like, why is nothing working? I was getting into all of this debt, right? Yeah. And I said to one of my mentors, I was super frustrated. And I said to him, look, maybe I'm not meant to be successful. You know, maybe this isn't for me. Maybe I should just have a job. And he turned around and he laughed at me, like literally in my face, right? And he said to me, he's like, Regan, you've got it all backwards. He's like, look, success is 80% psychology, right? It's 80% mindset and internal wiring. And then only 20% what you do on the outside. And he's like, how much work are you actually doing to condition yourself to succeed? And that's when it clicked for me. And that's when I started doing the internal work. And that's when everything started to shift. So I think too many people are stuck in the how and stuck in the what's the perfect strategy and like, oh, just work harder and it'll change, when really they need to change them.
Well, I think that that's the perfect thing, because I think environments are ultimately what create our conditioning and our beliefs and our values. And one of our biggest environments is, we've all heard, is like the five people we hang out with most. So I think that's one thing that you can do to start shifting how you're thinking, feeling, and behaving is who you hang out with. But what are some other like maybe not so common things that people can start doing to condition their mindset?
Totally. Well, I would highly recommend that you have some sort of daily mindset routine or ritual.
Well, what's yours look like?
Tell us about that. Absolutely. So I do a lot of journaling. And for me, I don't think it matters too much how you do it. You know, you can meditate, you can journal, you can visualize, you can Tony Robbins run around and shout and scream and do affirmations, right? It doesn't really matter what you do as long as you get to the emotional trigger point of actually feeling what you're creating and really living into that. So for me, you know, I do a lot of journaling every single day. I sit down and I start writing out my big picture reality that I'm creating. I dig into identity work of really asking myself, well, you know, who do I need to become in order to create this? And, and digging into, well, what do I need to believe, right? And really just doing the daily internal work and affirming a lot of it over and over and over again. You know, if someone did that just for 10 minutes a day, their life would look so different.
That's so true. And those little tiny morning rituals and the rituals throughout the day, I think have been one of the biggest things that shifted my success. It sounds like the same thing for you.
Absolutely.
And I feel like for everyone else that's come on the show.
Yes.
Founder of Regan Hillier International, Regan Hillier is joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I want to talk about habits and rituals again for one last second.
Cool.
What do you feel like, outside of the mindset thing, is something that people can start doing for the strategy side? You said 80% of success is the mindset, the psychology. 20% is sort of the things that you're doing. Strategies and the tactics.
Absolutely.
What are some of those things?
Absolutely. Well, obviously, you know, it's kind of different depending on where people want to go, right? Because obviously everyone has a slightly different big picture vision. But something I do, which makes sure that I'm always taking aligned action, is I look at, okay, cool. If this is my big picture vision or reality, and if I was in a place where I knew that was done, like if that was locked and loaded in my future, I ask myself, well, what would I be doing now in order to have this show up faster, right? And I just start writing down. I'd be like, well, I'd contact this person, I'd do this, I'd hire this person, I'd do that, and then start doing it, right? And so if you actually go through that process, then you're not going to be just busy being busy. You're actually going to be doing the work, but it's going to be shifting you forward in an aligned way.
I want to know from your perspective what you feel like, because there's a lot of people out there that haven't done this yet. Are three things that ultimately every beginning entrepreneur needs to know. So I cut the cord from my job. I'm in like that first beginning stage of starting my business. What are three things that I absolutely need to have in place or be aware of?
totally. So I would make sure that whatever you're doing is aligned with who you actually are, what you enjoy. It's very, I mean, I'm not going to say it's easy to go and create a company, but it's easy to create a company that you don't love, right? So I would make sure, firstly, that you're doing something that comes from within, that you really care about, that you live into, that is just a part of you, because then when it gets tough, and it will, that will keep you going. So that's the first thing. Second thing, I would find out, okay, cool, what kind of people do I want to help and what are their biggest problems, right? Because obviously you need to be solving their problems or helping them on those pathways in order to exchange some value. And then thirdly, it sounds silly and basic, but you need to get in front of those people. You need to actually launch, right? Yeah. You need to actually put your offers out there into the world. There are so many people and they're like, oh, you know, I've got all these great ideas. I know who I'm going to help and I'm just not making the money I want. And I'm like, well, how often are you getting in front of them? And they're just not, right? So yeah, I think those are three core things.
I think that's fantastic. And I love that you said, you know, a lot of times people end up creating a business that they hate.
Yeah.
And so many people that have jobs are like, man, if I could just start my own business, and they create a worse, a lower paying job where they work more hours. So
exactly.
I love that you brought that up.
Right.
So what are some different ways people can get in front of them? I know that you help people do this. So break down for us. What are like some simple ways right now, anybody tuning in with us can start right now getting their message in front of people?
Absolutely. So for me, online is the answer, right? I really think, you know, if you're not online, if you're not on social media, if you're not growing these platforms, like, you're going to be left behind, right? Yeah. So it can be as simple as simply going, okay, cool. What do I have to say right now? Okay, what do I have to say? And then what is my offer, which is going to lead people into taking some sort of action with me so I can help them, right? And so for me, it's simply, it could be writing that. It could be speaking that in a video. It could be doing a live stream about that on any of your platforms that you have. Now, I'm guessing everyone has like a personal Facebook page, right? Yeah. And so many people go, oh, but I don't have a platform, or I don't have a network, or I don't have a business. No, you actually do, right? Mm-hmm. And you will have some people that are following you and connected with you on there. And you don't necessarily know all of those people in this day and age, right?
Yeah.
So I'd be getting that authentic content out there with a call to action and just getting it out on those platforms. Like, just start. It can be that simple.
And video. I mean, video is one of the biggest trends right now.
Yeah.
It's like so many people are afraid to just turn their camera on and then film themselves either on their laptop or their phone. But it is that easy. And I think a good message is your first 100 videos may suck.
Yes.
I'm sure yours, like mine, probably weren't as good as they are
now. Totally sucked.
And didn't have a studio and lights and stuff. It starts with just a phone.
Uh-huh.
And I think you can still make millions of dollars and impact millions of people just with your phone. What do you think has been the biggest aha moment for you? I think that when you get started in business, you kind of learn some things, realize some things.
Uh-huh.
You get in 10 years, 20 years in business, you make your first million, 10 million and beyond.
Yeah.
And you sort of have aha moments or light bulb moments.
Right.
What do you think was one of yours?
I think one of the biggest things is that keeping it simple is sometimes the answer. Right. Especially online, it's very easy for people to get wrapped up and going, okay, cool. You know, I need this big, complicated launch strategy and I need this, I need that. And I need, you know, all this technology to support me. And sometimes, you know, some of my most successful launches and things that I've done online have been literally just going, wow, like I feel really cool to do this. Like you said, turning the camera on, just going, guys, I'm running a webinar tomorrow, jumping on, doing it, speaking from the heart, and then having the offer at the end. Like, it can be that simple. And yes, you know, the other stuff can work and you can spend all this time like planning and launching and doing all this stuff. But for me, I just, it's a constant reminder of like, keep it simple, because that's the stuff that works.
That's fantastic. And I think it's so much easier nowadays to overcomplicate things. And that's what holds people back.
Yeah.
But I love that. Keep it simple.
Yeah.
For the people out there who don't know, like, how is it the right time to start? How is it the right time to hire you or go to you to help me get my message out there?
I think you really just have to make a decision. You know, there's no one externally going, you're now ready, or you need to do this, or you need to climb this ladder. Like, it really comes from you, right? Okay. So I think you just need to sit down, get really clear on, okay, where do I want to go? And then choose. And if you feel like you're not ready and you want to sit in your job for 6 months, then fine, go do that and be okay with that.
Yeah.
Or if you're ready to go all in now, make a decision to go all in.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show, Regan.
Great to have
me. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, and we connect a community of entrepreneurs. If you'd like to be a part of it, you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
To be a great leader these days, you do not need a new set of skills. You simply need to execute the traditional ones at a higher level. Here's a few tips to become a better leader at work. I'm Alex Worley with the Business Rockstars Minute. Number one, lead by example. Leaders need to show, not just tell. If you want your employees to be punctual, make sure you're there on time or even early. Number two, find a mentor. The best leaders out there know when they need help and they know where to turn in order to get it. Nobody can know everything, so finding someone you trust for advice when things get tough can make all the difference. Number three, never stop improving. Great leaders are constantly learning and always trying to improve themselves. There's always something that you can work on or a new skill to master. Be sure to keep your mind open to new ideas and possibilities. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. Right now, get your first month supply for free. All you pay is just $5 for your medical consultation when you go to forhims.com/doctor. After that, it's just $30 for a month's supply. Sure beats paying big bucks for just one blue pill, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need an awkward in-person doctor's appointment to get the prescription. Hims has doctors online who can prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. It's affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/doctor. That's forhims.com/doctor for your first month for just $5. forhims.com/doctor.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Let's check in with Mark Lack.
How do you compete in a competitive space? I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now is Lawrence Wu. He's the CEO of Wuju. What's up, brother?
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
Pleasure to have you on the show. What's your company to do? Tell us about it.
Sure. So Wuju has two lines of hot sauces, an original and extra hot. And we're trying to take the next step in the hot sauce space as far as ingredients in terms of flavor, you know, being less focused on the pepper, more focused on flavor, specifically with an international flavor profile and a sweet side.
Well, we're talking about how to compete in a competitive space. So how are you guys able to not only be profitable, but also grow your business in such a competitive industry?
Sure. So at first, when I was starting off, it was like, you know, what do I want to focus on? And it came down to simplification in such a competitive industry. And for me, it boiled down to the sweet side, you know, niching down to looking at the more mild market, which is the largest segment of the hot sauce space, and focusing on leveraging the sweet side to get that market.
So how do you see yourself being able to grow your business moving forward? Because it's one thing to get to the level that you're at now, but it's a whole nother thing to try to compete with some of the $100 million and $1 billion companies in your space. So how do you plan to do that?
Sure. Well, I guess the first thing is being able to compete on the shelf, right? That's the first step with first interaction that you have with your customers. And my label is very unique. It's a beautiful watercolor label. And then the ingredients, we have 16 ingredients on there, if you include the ingredients of mustard as well. And, you know, being able to diversify and stand out just through something like your packaging, that's a kind of great way to start.
What do you think are some of the mistakes that people typically make when starting a business that has the competition ultimately crush them?
Sure. Well, I think the biggest mistake, at least in my industry, the grocery business, is assuming that once you get a big name like Whole Foods, Albertsons, or Safeway, you're set, like you're golden. Because a lot of these big retailers, not only are you competing with these companies with huge pockets, but you're also required to, say, give a free case per store. And when you're dealing with hundreds or thousands of stores to start off with, that's a huge upfront cost. So I would say just niching down as best as you can, getting those customers, whether it be regional or just very specifically.
So what do you think's been some of the key traits that have helped you guys become successful?
Sure. I think for me, it's been about the story. I started off in the pharmaceutical industry. I'm 2 years out of school, spent a year working in pharmaceuticals, and I needed to find a way to build a story behind the brand. And so what I did to prove the concept was I gave out 1,000 free bottles, shipped out from my parents' garage to random people online. Through a website called Reddit that tons of millennials go to. And I thought, you know, what's the best way to get honest opinion? And obviously, that was a great way to do it. And I got very positive feedback, which led me to Kickstarter, which led me to a food show. And now I'm here.
CEO of Wuju, Lawrence Wu, is joining us. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Lawrence, who are some of your favorite entrepreneurs out in the world that inspire you?
Sure. I think Tim Ferriss is a big one.
4-hour work week.
Yeah, 4-hour work week. Probably one of my favorite books. It was just very real to me and like leverage all of the great resources we have out there. And my parents work in restaurants and they work more about hard work and persistence rather than working efficiently sometimes, I would say. So
Old school versus, you know, nowadays with technology and all the little growth hacks that are out there, it's all about working smart. We all have the same 24 hours in a day. It's how we use them that's going to determine our success. So what do you think are some of the things you know that help you work smarter instead of harder?
Sure. I mean, just keeping an open mind. And again, like I said, connecting with people, figuring out, you know, what's the most important, what are the most important mission critical things to think about? And then just kind of searching, doing my own due diligence. There's something as simple as Google searching, you know, what are the best tools and, you know, user ratings today, so prevalent that it's pretty easy to do.
What are some of the lessons you learned as you started to build out your e-commerce site? Nowadays, there's so much money, so many new businesses, people teaching how to be successful on e-commerce. So what are some things that you've learned about e-commerce that would benefit our audience?
Sure, sure. So I think having enough, having the right plugins for me has been huge. At first I was like, oh, I want to keep this website pretty clean as far as like the functionality and look. But as I grew and had something like, say, a chat feature where it's like, hey, you know, I'm Lawrence from Wuju. If you need any help, like, please talk to me. I mean, it's really helped with conversion. And when you're dealing with small conversion percentages, every little bit counts. So I think that those minor details, those additions to the site have made a world of a difference for us.
What about the numbers? I feel like when it comes to e-commerce, just as most businesses, but especially online, it all boils back down to the numbers. What's your customer acquisition cost, lifetime value? How much money are you spending? Where are you allocating your funds? What are your margins? And so many other numbers that are key. Do you have any systems that you use to keep track of your numbers so that you can track and measure your growth?
For me, I mean, I'm a traditionalist, you know, being a recent grad, I've used a ton of Excel in my internships to be perfectly transparent with you and
keep it old school, baby. Use that Gmail Excel.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm pretty good with organizing everything there. So
awesome. Well, Lawrence, I appreciate you for coming on the show, brother. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs is what we do. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.